Very warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On the list of what a mature Christian ought to be, and that list is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 7, which will also be more familiar to us because it is known as the qualification of all elders. One of the requirements is, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. In other words, there is no area of the believer's life that is exempted from scrutiny by God and by God's word and by God's people. In order for us to seek and find a God-honoring, Christ-obedient elder, the Bible included his life in the world. That's what it means in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. He must have a good report of them which are without. When he relate to unbelievers, he must conduct himself in a manner that is Christ-honoring. And so if we were to write to your employers or employees in this context for this morning, what will they say of your behavior and your conduct toward them? Will they say that this employer, this employee, he is beyond reproach? Whatever that is entrusted to him, he is trustworthy. He will get it done. But one thing that we find a problem is, he keeps on sharing Christ with us. Whenever he finds a free time, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is about his faith. Now, they may find this offensive. They may find this troubling. But from our perspective, from God's perspective, it would be the highest praise that you could ever receive from an unbeliever. That what occupies your heart, your mind, your motive is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you will be unyielding in your ethics, in your morality. That in your dealings and your conduct in business, whether it is in the most menial task or in the most important task, you will always give your best and it will always be along the straight and narrow path. No compromise, because you are a Christian. Now, if you compare what God said concerning the wife, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband, he is to pattern his love after Christ. So Christ became his example as Christ. In the case of the wife, do it as if you are doing it for the Lord's sake. In the case of children, obey your parents in the Lord. So using the Lord, using the word of God as your basis, as the scope for your obedience. And then we have, for fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So likewise, of the Lord becomes the pattern, the guideline for us to bring our children up. Now, when it comes to the servants, you see in verse 5, as unto the Lord. So the Lord is always the frame of reference for the conduct of the wife, with a little bit of a twist in the change in the preposition. In the Lord, of the Lord, as the Lord, like the Lord. In this case, it's the same, no difference. It is always the relationship between the employer and the Lord that becomes his frame of reference. You are not to compare yourself with other employees. You are not to compare yourself with other employers or other wives or other husbands or children or parents. Whatever it is the Lord who must be your frame of reference. That's why we know that these are for Christians. If you are not a Christian, none of these things will apply to you simply because you are not able to do it. You can never do it in the Lord or unto the Lord at all. And therefore, if you are a Christian, please know that this is not an option. This is the way that you must be, because any other way to do it outside of what God has clearly defined for us would be a transgression. It will not be right. It will be erroneous. It will be sinful. And so first and foremost, when we look at the Christian employer, the word master here is the word Lord. The word servants in verse 5 would be slaves, doulos. Now that would be the concept of the employer-employee perspective. They don't have it the way that we have, where you have employer-employee, where the employee will go there and work. In this instance, God talks about a lord and a slave relationship. Sure, they have also workers who will be daily wage workers who will go to the marketplace and then see whether they will find work when the landlord will come and say, all right, I need 5 workers for today. And so they will hire one in the morning. Oh, not enough. I need another 2 more in the afternoon. And then later on, still not enough. I need to complete it by sunset. And so you ask for another 3 more. Now that we see in the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this particular context, it is the Lord and the slave relationship, the most abject and the most common in those days. How many kinds of slaves do we have in the Bible? You have slaves who are captured, like Daniel. You have slaves that are sold, like Joseph. The brothers sold him as slaves into Egypt. Then you have slaves that are born into slavery because their parents were slaves. And then you have those who are in debt. They owed a big debt to the creditor and they could not pay. Even giving them the land for them to use and to plant seeds and corn and so on, still not enough. And so they have to sell themselves. The whole family may be sold into slavery until the debt is cleared. And then last of all, willing slave, because they love their master. And so they will go to the elder or the priest and then they'll have their ears pierced. That means I want to be a slave for life to this master because he's a good master. Nobody likes to be a slave unless you have a good master. And that's why verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8 gave very clear instruction on how to be a Christian slave inside the most difficult, unyielding, and unjust society during the Roman Empire, as unto the Lord. Now what happens if you are the Lord and you become a Christian and then now you have the slaves? Now you know who they are, what kind of slaves they are. You may have a mixture of all 4, maybe excluding the willing one because you might have been a terrible master before your conversion. So you probably may not have willing slaves. You may have slaves that have been captured, you purchase some, and some of them because they come in as men and so you give him a woman and then you will help him to have children and so the children are born slaves and that's how you enlarge your servants by birth, or some may owe you a debt. And so they have to sell themselves to serve under you as their Lord in order to pay off their debt. Now that you become a Christian. And so the first instruction, God says, your attitude must change. Your attitude, you must change from within because now you are a Christian. Before God can focus on the outward, God now dealt with the inward. And so God used one phrase that will cover everything. And ye masters, do the same things. So what are the same things unto them? Now who are the them? The servants, which God had already given clear-cut biblical instruction from verse 5 to verse 8. So instead of repeating the same thing all over again, as unto Christ and so on, as you can see in these verses. So God said to the master, you also must be guided the same way like your Christian employees, or like the Christian employees, because you may not have Christian servants. But nevertheless, you are a Christian now, and therefore as a Christian master, employer, you must conduct yourself from a Christian perspective. And so what do we find in verse 5? You must obey with fear and trembling in singleness of heart as unto Christ. So you do it as unto the Lord. Likewise, you do not follow the same kind of work as an employee because you're an employer now. This is not same things in terms of behaving like an employee. Same things in terms of the manner, the attitude. The same attitude and manner that God wanted the Christian servant or slaves to be, so must you. Because of the Christian principles. They apply across the board without distinction. who you are, what you are in the eyes of the world, whether you are a lord or a slave, as far as God is concerned, it matters not. The Christian principle and the life in Christ now dominates everything that you are. That's what it means by verse 5. As unto Christ. You do it like Christ, as if you're doing it for Christ's sake. What has Christ done for you? What has Christ done in your life? That is your foundation and your basis. Verse 6. What does it say? The will of God from the heart. The last part. So masters, you also do the will of God. Now where do you find the will of God? On the earth. Because Jesus says to us in Matthew 7:21, the one who will enter into heaven is the one who will do the will of my Father, that is Jesus' Father, who is in heaven. And the will of God who is in heaven while we are on earth is found only in the Bible. So that means, Mr. Employer, Mr. Master, you do it as unto Christ. You do it according to the will that is found in Scriptures. And you do it from the heart. You have a new heart now. You do it with the right motive. You don't do it for filthy lucre. No more. That used to be the past, motivation and desire to enlarge your pool of slaves, whatever it takes to get them to do what you want according to all the worldly carnal methods and philosophies. Divide and conquer. All these must now be out. The Word of God must be your only guide because that is your attitude. If this is not going to begin with your mind, with your thinking, rest assured, you're not going to do it. So know the Word of God and let the Word of God now become your guide. Verse 7. With goodwill, doing it as unto the Lord. Goodwill as unto the Lord. That's what it means. Do it with the right kind of heart and intention and outcome for the Lord's sake. Because many of these slaves, they are belligerent. Who like to be a slave? Pray tell. Nobody like to be a slave. Because to be a slave is the most miserable position to be in. You are expected to work hard, and your labor at the end of it is not owned by you, not even one iota. Everything is going to the coffers of your Lord, your master. You work very hard for the master's enrichment. That's a slave. And if you don't, they will beat you. They can do whatever they want to you. They can even kill you. And the Roman law will not protect you because you are no better than his animal. And sometimes you may even feel that the animals are treated better than you because they don't beat the animal the way they beat you. That was what happened to slaves. But now you are a Christian. Goodwill. What is the best outcome for them from God's perspective? What is the best outcome for all the servants or slaves under your charge and your care, your payroll, in our context? What is the best outcome? Salvation, isn't it? The best outcome for any employee that now God has brought into the circle of your life, the frame of influence, because you are the Lord. And God brought them into your influence. What is the best goodwill that you can do for them from God's perspective? In the past, as a non-Christian Lord, freedom. Give them freedom. That's the best. But their freedom is not freedom from sin. Their freedom is the physical freedom, and that's what the best you can do from man's perspective. But from God's perspective, the best thing you could do to someone is salvation. So for the employee, goodwill as unto the Lord, salvation of employers. From the employer perspective, salvation of the slaves, the employees. That must be your singular goal. Goodwill as unto the Lord. Fourthly, verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. This is known as the law of lex talionis, a Latin phrase to talk about the law of just retribution. God watches each and every one of us. God watches the servant, the slaves. You cut corners and you play the fool with your master, you cheat your masters because you think that he doesn't watch you while you are working in his field. You hurt his animals because you think that he is not watching. God is watching. The person that you must be most concerned with concerning your life and your conduct and your motive is not on this earth. It's not one another. We are more concerned with saving our face than to realize that we have God who continues to watch over us regardless of where we are, whether we are in the deepest ocean or the highest mountain or cover ourselves with the thickest darkness. God can see through everything and he knows what you and I are doing. There is nothing secret that you can keep from God. And that's why God warns the employee, just retribution from God is what you and I must expect to receive. So how you deal with them, you deal with them unjustly, unkindly. Rest assured, that's how God will deal with you in turn. So this phrase in verse 9, do the same things unto them, exactly the same way that God said to the servant or the slave to do unto the employer. You do the same as a Christian. It's always one way, remember. Verse 5 to verse 8, Christian employee, doesn't matter what kind of Christian or what kind of employer, whether Christian or not, you be who you are. And from the perspective of the Christian employer, the Christian master here, it's the same. You are not a Christian. Treat everybody the same. All those who are under your care, your slaves, your employees in our context. Like the Christian wife. You obey us unto the Lord, doesn't matter whether your husband is a Christian or not. Christian husband, you love your wife, whether she is a Christian or not, it does not matter. As Christ loved the church and gave his life. Children, Christian children to parents, same thing. Christian parents to children, same thing. It's who you and I are. Now, why did God single out all these? Wife, husband, children, parents, employee, employer, slaves, masters. You ask yourself one question. Think very carefully. When a person becomes a Christian, the relationships he has on this earth, each and every one of them is transformed because he is now transformed. And therefore his mind, his attitude toward the Bible is changed, toward God is changed, toward his possessions is changed, and now last and final, toward people. This is a description of all the people that is in the believer's life. For the woman, if he's married, Christian wife. For the man, if he's married, Christian husband. And we are all children. We all have parents. And parents, if you're married, you have children. God now wants to regulate and help us apply with proper instruction on how we can be the best Christians toward people and others in our lives. And that's what we have been touching upon from chapter 6, verse 22 onwards. And now we come to the last and final. Masters, your attitude, we have described it, and that's what you must be. As unto the Lord. Obey as unto the Lord. Do the will of God from your heart. The goodwill toward your employees, just as the goodwill from the employees toward the employer, as unto the Lord, their salvation. That is and must be our singular goal when you go out to work. And so you have to prepare yourself for this goal and this aim and this purpose. And that's what the church, that's what everything in the church is supposed to help you to be. Because out there in the world, it is going to try to distract you and diminish this aim and purpose. And so they will use seduction and all kinds of temptations. In Singapore, the most common and the most effective use by the evil one is seduction. In other countries, it will be by threats. That's persecution. But for us, in this lovely, peaceful, prosperous country, it's the luxurious life. It is so, so effective to lure us away so that we forget why we are placed on this earth. And this morning, we're going to focus on employers. The employers would be those who are working out there. You have your own business. You have people under you. How do you relate to them? Just to get them to work hard, you give them money to entice them. Is that the motivation? And for those who are employers at home, you may have helpers, whether full-time or part-time. They are now within the purview of your influence. They are not part of your family, but they stay in your home as if they are part of your family. And so they're going to look at your life, just like your children look at your life. But they will look at it not from a son-daughter perspective, like mom and dad, but they're going to look at you from an employee, a slave perspective, because you are the one who have brought them into your home, and you make sure that they know where they are, isn't it? Some don't even allow them to eat at the same table as them. Are they allowed to? Not allowed. They eat somewhere else. So you make sure they know where they stand in your family. Not like your son, not like your daughter. They can eat with us. And how your son, your daughter is supposed to address them will be seen also. How you regard them. So how do you conduct yourself as a master, as an employee, as a lord? As a Christian master. Your attitude is crucial. You are to point them to Christ by the way that you relate to them. That's what it means by as unto Christ. Because otherwise, why would God let you remain on this earth? Otherwise, why would God provide you with the substance to have helpers, to have employees? Otherwise, why would God give you the ability to become a master or an employee? Or sorry, an employer. Why would God do that? Because God wants you to be His example to point people to Christ. Because if you're going to do everything as if there is no Christ in your life, you don't care for their salvation, and all you care about is to get them to do what you want them to do so that you can enlarge your business, so that you can have a cleaner house. That's all. So the helpers, the maids that you bring in, all you want from them is to clean, iron, wash, vacuum, mop. That's it. How are you different when you are not a Christian? The same thing. No difference. But you are now a Christian employer, and therefore your primary focus is that this person that you have brought into your home to help you to do these services, that's not by chance. Sure, you go to the employee, this agency, and then you ask for a helper from this country, that country. The higher hand of God is involved in selecting this individual, and your time with this individual is for that brief moment, for whatever long. And during this time, you are to help this person, expose this person to Christ by your conduct, by bringing the person to church, if possible. Whatever it takes, that's what you must do. That is why you are here on this earth. That's why God gave you the substance and the responsibility to be an employer. In whatever level, whether it is out there or in your home, that's what you must focus on, your attitude. If that is not your attitude, you ask yourself, is there a better attitude than what God has given to us? Do the same things? Is there another attitude that can be better? I don't think so. Unless you're not a Christian, then you invent your own. Then you will do what the people in the book of Judges did. They will do what is right in their own eyes. If you reject the word of God and you call yourself a Christian, you're basically doing what the period of the Israel in the period of Judges did. They will do what is right in their own eyes. Because that phrase that God used to capture and summarize 350 years of the period of Judges, it is a description of the world out there without God's word. Do you know that the world out there has always been doing things that is right in their own eyes? They're still doing it today. You can see this from country to country. They just pass laws as and when they feel like it. Some countries say it's okay to have drugs. And so they will help you to have drugs and they will legalize drugs. In some countries like Singapore, you want to bring drugs into Singapore, you go beyond, you carry more than a certain amount, you face the death penalty. So one country say, it's okay, we provide you with the drugs. Other countries say, you put to death. You do what is right in your own eyes. But we are Christian. You are a Christian employer. You have no right to do what is right in your own eyes before God. We are not asking you to compare with another employer. So you don't say, well, but that employer, but that elder, that pastor, that God did not ask you to compare with them. God says, you compare with me, Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, as unto Christ. Are you or are you not a Christian? If you are a Christian, then God says, do, imperative, do, not an option. Do the same as what I have instructed the Christian employees, the principles, the attitude. This was the attitude they are to have when they serve any employer. And now employer, as a Christian, this is the same attitude that I expected in the heart of every Christian employee. I want the same for you. Not an option. So his attitude is clearly mapped out for us. Now it's up to you to obey or not obey. If you want to argue, it's between you and the Lord, but be prepared. Just retribution in verse 8. You will receive from the Lord whatever you do, whether it be good or bad. Please remember this. And therefore, God now points to the way of the employer. This is the way that you must set aside. Forbearing, threatening. That's the way that you must set aside. Forbearing means stop, desist. Do not continue in what? Threatening. Be a menace. Don't be a person who is a lord. Sure, you are a lord. We know you have power. These are your slaves. Yeah, you have the power to threaten them. You do not do this, you're going to be whipped. You do not do that, you're going to be killed. Yeah, you have the right. The law may be on your side and the law may allow you to do it. And you are right. Because the Roman law will give them that kind of right, because a slave has no right. You can read this in the epistle by the Apostle Paul to Philemon. A Christian slave was returning. And the Apostle Paul was appealing to Philemon, knowing that he has the right to kill Onesimus, the runaway slave. Because if you do not kill the runaway slave, then other slaves may be motivated or enticed to do the same. And so to teach this runaway slave a lesson so that all your other slaves will not run away, put him to death. If you run, you will also die. But while he ran away, he found salvation in Christ. And Paul says, you have to fulfill all righteousness. You must go back. But he knew that if he goes back by law, he could very well face the death penalty. And so the Apostle Paul wrote an epistle to Philemon to appeal to him. Both of you are now brothers in Christ. You are now part of the same God's family. And so the Apostle Paul says, his debt, put it on my debt. In other words, forgive him. Don't let the law of the land dominate your thinking and your heart and your attitude. Receive him as a brother in Christ. He is now born again. He helped me. We met while both of us were in prison. Transformed. No more using threats to get things done, which was the norm. I'm a master, I'm the Lord. That's where Lord is. That's how delicious power can be. Right? People in positions of employer, the higher you are, the more employees are below you. You have this power. You give them the salary. Their life, their future depends upon your favor, your grace, your mercy. And so the government has to pass laws to regulate employers' conduct so that employers will be just and will be fair. And sometimes when you and I read in the papers, not only in Singapore but in other countries, how employers will beat up their employees, their mates. They take advantage of them. They hurt them. Some of them even kill them. And they seem to get away with it because they have money, they have connection, and all these people in high places get protected even though when they commit a crime. That's a lord-slave relationship. That was what it was like in those days. But today, in the 21st century, in some parts of the world, it's not any different. We may have the facade of the first world influence in terms of our technology, in terms of our modernity. But other than that, the heart of man has never changed. It's just as dark, as corrupt as ever before. Unless you are born again in Christ. And that's why the apostle Paul says, stop using the method of threatening. Goodwill. Point them to Christ. Encourage them. Share Christ with them. Give them the Bible. Bring them to church when possible. Encourage them to practice what you are supposed to do for them. Keep the Sabbath day holy. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? For masters. Do you know what that means? It means stop work. It means do not get any money into your coffer on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. That's what it means. That's what it meant in the Old Testament, and that's what the same in the time of the apostles for Christians. In other words, shut down your business, plain and simple, so that your employee may know that you are a Christian, that there is a difference for me as a Christian employer. Monday to Saturday, we are allowed to work to keep body and soul together as a Christian employer. And then the Lord's Day is a day of rest. Rest from what? Not that you are tired, that you need a rest because physically you can't do it. But rest from your labor of keeping body and soul together so that you may never forget that you are a child of God bound for heaven. That you have risen with Christ. That you have died. The old man has died. And now you are alive in Christ. And the life that you now live is no longer the way that I want. It must be lived according to the way that Christ wants. And this is what Christ demands of a Christian employer. Stop being so greedy. Stop being so faithless. Enough is enough. You are not a citizen of this earth. You are a citizen of heaven. As a Christian employer, be a Christian employer. There will be challenges. No doubt about that, because the whole world doesn't care. The whole world may think that you are a fool to close down your business, whether you run a hawker stall or whatever it is. Because that's the Sunday where they make the most money. And so you must open, because you can even count in your mind the dollars and cents that you're going to lose. Because most people will make double, perhaps, on Sunday. Wow, so much. So much. Wow, I cannot. Right? But then where is your faith? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, water, food, clothing, will be added unto you. You trust God? You trust Him? God knows exactly how much material possessions you can handle when you walk the straight and narrow path. But when you think that walking the straight and narrow path by seeking God's kingdom first and His righteousness is not the way for you, and you want to go back the way of the world and now call yourself a Christian, and you continue to behave yourself as if now, instead of seeking God's kingdom first, you want to seek earth kingdoms first and unrighteousness, because that's what you have become. And then maybe God will add to me the spiritual things. Impossible. God will never break His own word. God will never continue to encourage you to become more and more spiritual as you day by day become more and more carnal. It's contradictory. The two cannot go together. Either you are spiritual or you are carnal. You cannot be spiritual and carnal. Don't pretend to be spiritual on Sunday and then carnal from Monday to Saturday. God knows. Christian employer, don't use the ways of the world such as threat. You don't do what you are supposed to do, lose your job. You don't do what you're supposed to do, no promotion. Threats. You don't do what you're supposed to do in the house, I send you back. I report this, I report that. What is God's instruction? Goodwill as unto the Lord. Do your best. Point them to Christ. During the time that they have with you, whether it is 3 months or 3 years, regardless, whatever time that you have, the most important and only consideration as a Christian employer is now God has given to you a new sinner for you to share Christ with. And let the person come to know the Lord Jesus Christ during this time of influence and relationship and interaction you have with that person. Even when the person does not believe in Christ, but the person will always remember that you are a Christian employer and you are different from the rest of the other employers that this helper may have experienced before or future. They will always remember, and you never know. Maybe in another home somewhere during difficult circumstances, what you have taught and instructed in the mind of this helper or maid that had worked with you for a season of time, the word of God may be brought back to remembrance by the Holy Spirit and bring conversion. You never know. That's why you must never forget that you are always a Christian first, and then the wife, and then the husband, and then the son, and then the parent, and then the employee, and then the employer. Always Christian first. So therefore, your attitude, instructed, given to us, your ways, the old way is gone by using threat, no more. Don't be a tyrant. Be a spiritual person. Focus on the spiritual well-being of the people under your charge. Finally, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Sometimes the Apostle Paul has a little bit of a humor. And the King James translators translated it very well. The master, small m. Your master, singular, capital M. Same word. You are the small L, lords. And then there is a capital L, Lord. You see this? Knowing, the word knowing there is not experiential knowledge, it's cognitive knowledge, same as what you find in verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, in verse 8, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be born or free. In verse 9, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Okay, he is in heaven. He is now watching over you, just as you watch over your servants, your slaves, your employees. So you watch them, he watches you. Neither is there respect of persons with him. So you think he's going to show you special favor and consideration because of who you are? Well, I'm a child of God, and so therefore God will treat me differently. You find in the scriptures, God makes sure that is never the case. That's why in passages of the Bible, God made it abundantly clear that whenever David cried to God for help in the Psalms, the Bible revealed to us that David understood that when he cried to God for help and God came to his help, it was not because David was a man after God's own heart. David was his son. David was special. He was God's anointed king. It was because David was righteous. He was being persecuted for not any wrong thing that he had done. And so he cried to the Lord, and the Lord helped him, not because of favoritism, and therefore you are not God's son, I don't help you. Therefore I punish you. And this is my God's son, therefore I help him. God is not helping his son, his daughter, because of relationship. God comes to your aid because you are walking in the path of righteousness. Because if you don't, rest assured that God will not wait for others to discipline you. He will discipline you directly. And you don't want God to discipline you. You rather have men to discipline you rather than God. Because when men discipline you, it is by the grace and mercies of God, according to Scripture, it's going to be far less severe than if it comes from God. Because when God has to intervene, it will be nearly the end of your life already. It will be nearly the end of his patience and long-suffering in dealing with you. Because in between, God will send people send more and more people to tell you, don't do this, stop it, don't do this, stop this, don't do this, stop this. And you keep on resisting, no, 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 no. And you keep on being defensive and argumentative. And all these people will stop. They will stop. Because who wants to be scolded? Who wants to be rebuked? They care enough to tell you the first time, please don't do this. And then how do you respond? You rebuff the person. Then the next time person see you also in transgression. You think he's going to now do the same? Or he loves you enough, he will do one more time. Like a parent to a child. Some more. But then when the son, when the daughter who are old enough now rebuff, scold the mom, scold the dad. What do you think will happen next? Nobody likes to be rebuffed. They will just simply stop. And when they stop, you don't want that to happen. Because the next will be the Lord himself. He is no respecter of persons. So please don't think that because you have done so much in the church, you can bully your employees out there. So please don't ever think that because you are the founder of this, you have been very philanthropic, you have given this and built this hospital, built all these, and now therefore you can be a tyrant. God is no respecter of persons, and he continues to be the capital M master over every one of us, no exception. And this is more significant to small M masters, to let us know that you will never get away with it. Because you will get away with it on earth. Because you are the master, small m. And if you follow the law, oh, you will get away with it. You may even follow the law, and the law may even be on your side. But there is a higher law. It's called the Bible. And God says to the masters in the time of Rome, don't you follow the Roman law that gives you the right to threaten, to kill, to beat, to hurt your slaves. Even though legally you can, but morally, biblically, you stop. That's what it means. We are Christians. We have a higher law, and that's the Bible, to regulate our conduct and our behavior. Not the laws of man. Because the law of God is always above the law of man. And when you obey the law of God, you will also, most of the time, obey the laws of man in the process, even higher. And that's what God wants from all of us as Christians. So how are you as a Christian employer at home if you have a helper? Is your first and foremost consideration for their spiritual well-being that they may come to know Christ? That your behavior and your conduct at home is to reflect Christ as a Christian wife, as a Christian husband? When you go to work, it should be the same. Let them see Christ in you. Now that you are born again in Christ, let them see the difference. They knew what you were like before, but now let them see what you are like today in Christ. For those who are not obedient, that's why the Apostle Paul perhaps gave us, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and he watches, he sees, he knows everything about all of us. You know, sometimes as pastors, we tell the students in FEPC, if you're not diligent now, rest assured, you will not be diligent when you're in the ministry. Because right now in Bible college, your time is carefully regulated by the timetable. When to attend class and how much time you have to get all your homework done, your time in the library, your time to do your research paper, your time to study, your time to memorize. All these are carefully regulated. But nobody will be there to watch over your shoulder all the time to see whether you will take advantage of all these and don't flitter your time away because you are slothful. But some of them are. Instead of sitting there to study, they just go to Newton Circus, teh tarik. And then the worst part is they entice their roommate. Hey, teh tarik or not? The roommate went to study. Hey, come lah, one day tarik lah. And before you know it, the tarik has taken away 1 hour of your time. Now you walk there. I mean, you walk to Newton Circus, right? And then you sit down there, sipping your teh tarik. And before you know it, 1 hour easily gone. And that could have been spent working hard. Now when you become a pastor, do you know what I do Monday to Friday? You don't know. You think the pastor just preach once a sermon on Sunday and that's it. What do we do? What do pastors do? All right? What do we do? We have the capital M Master watching over us every step of the way. We fool around. Yeah, you do not know. You may be fooled. But one person that we must never forget, that we can never fool, is God. So we work hard to the best of our ability, day by day, to make sure that we balance our time. Time with family, to make sure that my family life and my life, we are according to scriptures. My service in church, according to scriptures. My time in the Bible college, according to scriptures. Every fellowship, every relationship I mean, must be according to scriptures in whatever capacity that God has entrusted to me. We all have different scope of relationships. I don't work out there anymore. You have that. That must be according to the scriptures. Every relationship, that's what it means when we become Christians. And that's what the Apostle Paul wanted to emphasize after he gave us the first four chapters on doctrine, chapters 5-6 on practice. And he highlighted step by step, group by group, all the key relationships that had problems in his time, that also has problems in our time. And he gave us this instruction to solve all our problems so that we can all be Christian wives, Christian husbands, Christian children, Christian parents, Christian employer, Christian employers, to the praise and glory of God. That's what we are here for. And that's what God wants for us and from us. Our attitude must change first. And then our ways will change. And then finally, he gave us a reminder. There is a master who knows, who sees. And he is no respecter of person. He will deal with all of us according to who he is. Holy, righteous, just, and all-powerful. But always all merciful. Repent, fix it, he will forgive. Bear the consequence if there are any. And God will continue to use each and every one of us for his glory. Don't you want God to use you for his glory? That when people look at your life of good works, they will see Christ. The employees will see Christ. Your children will see Christ. Everybody will see Christ. And they will glorify God who is in heaven. Isn't that the greatest privilege that God has bestowed upon us? Once upon a time, we glorify self with our ego, with our pride. And now transformed by the blood of Christ. God says, you go out there and tell them about Christ. And then your life will glorify me. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee, O Lord, for the way that you have been so patiently, with long suffering, taking care of us, dealing with us, little by little, bit by bit. Help us, O Lord, to be obedient. Help us to remain as soft, pliable clay in the Master's hand, to shape, to mold, to become more and more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for all Christian employers, whether out in the world or at home, with mates, with helpers. We pray, Lord, that you will grant to each and every one of them a heart that is obedient to thy truth, that they may remember and understand that there is a Master who is above in heaven, who watches over all of us, and he is no respecter of persons. May this fear of God in our hearts keep us always in the path of righteousness, constrained by the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we continue in the path of righteousness and to be Christian employers, so that all those whom you have brought into our lives may see Christ in us and come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is every Christian heart's desire. Forgive us, O Lord, where we have sinned against thee and one another. Help us to make right our relationship with thee and be good Christian employers for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.